are seeing township formation, smart city formation, government incentivized townships. So these are new opportunities which we look at as developers. The risks are the same. There could be uncertainty in regulations. There could be fluctuation in economic scenario. There could be a threat of AI. So these are all which are back of our mind.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I am your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. The values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they are building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little agonies and ecstasies and joys of life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspect streams on Earshot.in, Spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, MoneyControl.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Ranjit Rathore, the Managing Director of DRA Homes. Ranjit holds a Master's in Business Administration from Cardiff University, the United Kingdom. Before assuming leadership at DRA, Ranjit served as the Alternate Director and Executive Committee Member of L&T South City Projects Private Limited, developing the largest township in Chennai, Eden Park off OMR. Under his leadership, DRA has transformed being seen as just another developer to gaining recognition as the most customer-centric developer. Additionally, he has expanded DRA's operations beyond real estate into financial services through DRA's investment wing, further demonstrating his business acumen and versatility. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Ranjit. Delighted to have you on the show.
Hi, Gaurav. It's my pleasure as well. Thank you so much for...
Ranjit, you know, I will start off with a basic question, kind of context setting, both for me as well as for our listeners. You know, with a 40-year-old legacy in Bengaluru and Chennai, DRA Homes has witnessed a significant transformation of the real estate sector. You kind of have a ringside view to this. Can you take us through how the company started, a bit of the journey? You know, what were the key, some of the key turning points? Were there any pivot moments? Like major expansion, how did you navigate the regulatory shifts? Because the real estate sector has gone through a significant change in the regulatory landscape over the last 10 to 15 years. And also, you know, how as an asset class, it has suffered and been to troughs and peaks from the highs of, say, the early 2000s. And then it, like any other asset class, it also got affected due to the global financial crash. And now it's again appears to be on an upswing. Can you take us through all of these through the lens of DRA Homes over the last decades? Ranjit?
Yeah, Gaurav, sure. I'll take you through the journey and give you some kind of insights on various turning points in our journey. The journey started pretty much a family-run legacy business, doing some projects here and there, joint developments, some outright purchases. It started in Bangalore through the heydays of Bangalore, which I would say are probably around 80s of just before the IT boom of Bangalore. And it sustained through the good phase of 90s. In 90s, the family also did many partnerships with larger players like Larsen & Toubro, like Prestige of the World. Some bit of partnerships were done in various structuring forms. But I would say after my return from my education from Cardiff, we took a route which was transformational, that is getting more into operational drive. And probably I was young enough to take that lead. And we had the right vision that time. Family supported us. Why don't we take the transformational route of creating a brand? And that's where the role was entrusted to me. I initially kicked off my career with spending some time with Larsen & Toubro, developing the one of the largest townships in Chennai called Eden Park, that gave a whole world of experience in terms of transparency, corporate governance, process execution expertise, and many other areas. Once that, I would say that stint was over, I donned the hat of the managing director of DRA Homes. The journey has been phenomenal. And as you rightly pointed out, I think the journey had many ups and downs. India was booming, great time post-liberalization. The IT boom just kicked off, and rightfully we were in the good cities, that is Bangalore and Chennai. Apart from the boom time, there were some down cycles which we witnessed. Started with the dot-com in 2000, moved on to the financial crisis in 2008, and thereon one more crisis which we had recently in the form of a natural, a calamity, a force majeure situation like COVID. All three, I would say, bottlenecks or threats taught us to become better and better, refine ourselves, evolve ourselves. And we are fortunate that we have survived, sustained, and grown through all these three busts. And as we speak in 2025, DRA Homes is a formidable player. We manage the operations out of Chennai, and we have delivered over 10 million square feet, over 12,000 homes, 10 million, I would say around 4 to 5 million square feet of commercial spaces. So all this has been done through all the ups and downs. The good part is India grew throughout this last 30 years. The IT boom continued despite all these bottlenecks. It became better and better despite all these bottlenecks. Further, the government also strengthened kind of policy making and the hold on the real estate sector, making it more and more transparent. The RERA was introduced in the year 2016, which made this industry very, I would say, trustworthy, what otherwise was not in the earlier era. GST implementation made transactions very smooth intra-city, and the supply management became better and better. More I can talk, but I think I will restrict myself to this part. The journey has been phenomenal with ups and downs throughout the last 40 years, starting from a family-owned business to a corporate-style-driven business.
Absolutely. Ranjit, you did talk about some of the force majeure situations. I'll come to that in a moment. But, you know, real estate is a tough industry to navigate because there are multiple spokes to it. There are multiple layers. There are various intermediate industries that are associated with it. The demand is a function of people's, not just of their current income, but also of what they think about their future income. Because what a decision, the key determinant to buy a house is the confidence of people about their ability to finance a house over a 10 to 15 year period, et cetera, et cetera. And developers have faced significant headwinds, if I may say so. I know some of these were rising land costs and also regulatory changes. There were not policy shocks, but there were changes definitely. There was RERA and GST, and also there was a bit of a shock in the form of demonetization, which I'm sure would have had some degree of effect on the real estate industry. As someone who has been leading this space for quite some time now, what have been some of the biggest challenges you have faced, and how did you navigate them, Ranjit?
Gaurav, I would say real estate is one of the most difficult business. And I keep quoting this, that if you take any industry, you set up the assembly lines, plant machinery once, and you run that industry for probably 20 years, 25 years, or even more, depending on the demand of that particular product. But when it comes to real estate, each project is an industry by itself. And the lifespan of that industry is 3 to 5 years, depending on the size of the project. Then you move on to another land and you redo the entire process once again. You get all the approvals for that land once again, which are probably 15 to 20 in its own nature. And then you move on to another land, another land, another land. So I would say in the span of 40 years of career of a real estate man, he probably would have started 150 to 200 industries. If I have to bring an analogy and a comparison, a parallel, that's the number of industries he would have started vis-a-vis probably a couple of industries which other entrepreneur would have started. So it is a tough, tough business. I have to be honest about that. You navigate through this tough business with right insight, risk planning, processes, and also a good insight into customer centricity. Customer preferences are evolving. You are trying to sell them a dream. Another point I would like to make here is there's no other product in the world where you're selling them off plan and asking them to believe you that you're going to give the same product after 3 years or 5 years. If you buy an Apple phone, you go to the store, you pick up the phone, you like it, you don't like it. You want to buy a car, so is the process, same process. If you want to buy a home, you're dreaming about something off plan, you have to carry the expectation of the customer throughout the journey of the home buying, which could take anywhere between 3 to 5 years. Keep him motivated, keep him happy. It's not easy. It requires constant customer delight. And my role, I would say, at DRA Homes is to make sure this journey is as smooth as possible with customer centricity and delight. So I can talk about many more challenges, but those challenges, I would say, probably are common to every industry. You do have government challenges, you do have labor challenges, you do have rising cost as your challenges. But I presume those are all a little hygienic to the entire entrepreneurial journey of any industry. But I think I have focused on certain points which are very unique to this particular industry. And that's why this industry becomes even more interesting. It's the second largest employer. So we take pride that we are building India.
Absolutely. You know, as you mentioned, the real estate sector has gone through some massive shifts, if I may say so, and also urbanization is very rapid now, and you know, customer preferences have undergone a massive transformation, more demanding. People are now more demanding. Sustainability has become a big issue, and developers are being forced upon to constantly adapt to these changes and respond to this. There have also been force majeure and unforeseen developments like the global financial crisis of 2008, of course, the pandemic, and all of that has added to making long-term planning quite uncertain and tricky. It's not just shooting in the dark, but also shooting at a target that's constantly moving and shaking, isn't it? So, having said that, what do you see are the biggest opportunities given these risks in the industry today?
Opportunities. Firstly, I'll come to the market size, Gaurav. The market size is phenomenal in our country. We have a rising per capita income and a middle class boom which is happening right now in the country. So the first opportunity is the market size. The second opportunity is always evolving trends and customer preferences, which keeps us finding new opportunities, new product types for them. It could be sustainable homes, it could be green homes, it could be smart homes. These are the unique offerings which probably we try to bring in with every shift of new generation which is stepping into as a customer. There are alternate housing which have evolved right now, which are probably new in this, in this decade. They include something like co-living, community spaces. These were not prevalent in the earlier days, or they were rather unorganized in the earlier days. So these are new opportunities which we are seeing right now. Plus, we are seeing township formation, smart city formation, government incentivized townships. So these are new opportunities which we look at as developers. The risks are same. There could be uncertainty in regulations. There could be fluctuation in economic scenario. There could be a threat of AI. So these are all which are back of our mind, Gaurav.
You know, policy and regulation, and let's stick into the same thing, are also huge factors. And that's a moving variable, because there's the There are the local authorities, there's the local government, that is the municipal authorities, there is the state government, and there's also the central government. And all of them, and the real estate industry has to, the developer community particularly, will have to deal with, has to navigate itself through a complex matrix here. Quoting from Tamil Nadu, for instance, revised its FSI rules to encourage high-rise developments, while another neighboring state, Karnataka, has focused on digital land records to improve transparency. Does it make things difficult for you to plan in such a scenario? You know, are there any regulatory changes you believe could make the sector easier to navigate, especially for small and mid-sized players, Ranjit?
So land is definitely a very challenging aspect. It's a state subject. As you rightly said, every state has its own unique laws, unique bylaws for development, which can vary from state to state. Some are friendly, some may not be that friendly. So yes, you're right that the approval process is a big challenge. It's pretty lengthy, cumbersome. We have to get N number of NOCs from various government agencies, which again has its own intricacies. So a streamlining of approvals, single window clearance, though many governments have been talking about, many states have been talking about, but in reality, it's really difficult even at the moment. So that would be a right step, I would say, if we can get speedy approval under a single window clearance, without any kind of discretionary subjective interpretations, that would be, I would say, a shot in the arm for the industry. FSI, higher FSI is always welcome. We believe that we are getting more and more urbanized. So the density of population is increasing. We obviously need high-rise to accommodate. Yes, we need to provide the right infrastructure when we go high-rise. We need to have the fire norms, the road, the stormwater drainages. So all this support is required from the government. Eventually, government plays a very important role because they only can develop the infrastructure. We can be only the enablers of such infrastructure. So it requires constant support from the government of every state to make sure that this industry becomes even better, more transparent, faster, to provide economic and good housing solution to this country. And you took a good example of Karnataka. They have digitized a lot of records. So I think it's a good case study for every state. Tamil Nadu also, to a great extent, has digitized their land records. But if they can make everything available at your fingertips by using internet, you can download your patta, revenue, khata, zoning. It makes life much more easier. You're able to scale up your projects much faster.
Yes, of course, Ranjit. Now, let's change tack a bit. Let's talk about branding. And the real estate sector is a peculiarity of sorts because many real estate companies actually focus on project level branding rather than creating an umbrella strong corporate identity, which is very unlike, say, technology companies or FMCG or even retailers. Why do you think branding is not a priority sector, a priority area in this sector, if I may say so, from a corporate identity point of view? And why is everything about real estate mostly focused on the projects that the developers are developing? Ranjit?
So my take is slightly different here. I would say that the legacy brands used to focus only on project level branding, which I would rather call as marketing and not branding, because they had the advantage of being a legacy player, being in the business for a very, very long time. And they thought that the buyers are going to be around that particular location. So we might as well market that particular product in that location. But fast forward, today's era, it is a digital era. Market is wide open. We are dealing with a new set of audience, which is predominantly millennials. The average age of home buying has come down drastically. It's around 35, 36 now, versus 46, 47, probably when I started my career. I strongly believe that today branding is required at the brand level, at the mother brand level. Real estate is all about trust. trust can be established by way of execution and as well as a strong storytelling about your brand. And the second part is also equally important. We at DRA Homes have invested in a brand with a brand ambassador. We got in Rashmika Mandanna as a brand ambassador, which suits the particular audience which we operate in. And I strongly believe that today's era, brand plays an equal role as much as project marketing. And that's my personal belief, Gaurav.
Indeed. You know, speaking of investors, you know, real estate as an asset class is one line of investment, but shareholding in investment, real estate is one of the few industries where there aren't too many publicly listed companies, despite the massive visibility that the sector enjoys, particularly among people and corporates and companies. Unlike tech and FMCG, where investors can track stock performance very easily because these are publicly listed, real estate investments also require deeper due diligence. So for someone looking to invest in a real estate company, not as an asset class, what are the key things that they should evaluate? Even if it was in an asset class, say, for instance, in a project as an investor, what are the things that I would rather, should rather look at very, very closely, Ranjit?
So, Gaurav, I would say that, yes, you're right. There are very few listed companies, real estate companies, given the fact that it's a very localized play, and like an FMCG company, where your product is sold pretty much throughout the country and you're selling, you're more into a commodity business there. But I think now there are some cues available with which you can invest. First and foremost is the credibility of the developer, I would say, which can be established by way of the financial health of the developer, the performance in the past, the execution capability of the developer, which micro markets he operates, how credible or how large those micro markets are, whether there is a potential upside in those markets, whether the employment opportunities are good enough, whether those states are friendly states in terms of generating more and more employment, more and more industries or other developments. And then I would always say that real estate is a silent and hidden compounder of wealth. Always think from a long-term perspective, and that's what we believe even our customers should look, or a shareholder or an investor should look. Do not come to real estate with a short-term view. Have a long-term horizon, and it will give you the right reward. So the mindset of the investor also has to be tuned in accordingly, Gaurav.
You know, Ranjit, DRA Homes has projects worth more than 2,700 crore under execution. And this is, by any benchmark, is a massive portfolio to manage. What's your strategy for maintaining quality? Because you cannot compromise on quality regardless of the order book that you have. And also at the same time, keeping costs in check and also addressing a key issue that continues to plague the real estate sector in the country is timely deliveries. How are you going about doing all of this, Ranjit?
So, yes, quality is paramount, and quality is addressed with the right team, right SOPs and right processes. So at DRA Homes, we have a SOP for quality. We have a quality department, which is separate, which is independent, reporting to me directly, which oversees the projects department, ensures that every part or every checklist of that SOP is ticked off. So we keep a detailed eye on quality. Yes, we have many projects, and we need to prioritize each and every project. That's where your experience comes, the right team comes, and also your dashboard of metrics comes to ensure that cash flow planning is properly done for each project. Sales are monitored for each project. And also your execution is monitored so that you can have a timely delivery of those projects. And in fact, I would say that we are probably one of the very few, or rather the only company, where we put a countdown meter in front of every project site, which shows exactly number of hours, number of days left for your project to complete on an automatic manner. It keeps changing by itself. Creating that transparency to the outside world, who can see and assess themselves that when the project will be completed and hold our team accountable to that particular date. So these are some of the initiatives which we have introduced. Lastly, I would say technology plays a very, very important role. And I think we need to invest in the critical project management tools, whether it's app-based, whether it's web-based, or whether it's desktop-based. It could be in any form, which can have a proper PERT scheduling of your project, throws the right reports, and also makes each and everybody in the system accountable by throwing alerts to them. So we have definitely invested in such tools, and that is definitely helping us, Gaurav.
Now, Ranjit, finally, let's talk about the future a bit. There is a demand for sustainable living, and that is because we cannot be in a state of denial so far as climate change is concerned. There is also increasing demand for tech-integrated homes because the people are looking for smarter and smarter homes, given that we are building smart cities, and that's which is a key focus area of urban planning. Where do you see real estate, given this context, where do you see real estate heading in the next 5 to 10 years? Are there any big trends or innovations that you can spot and likely to shape the industry?
Yes, Gaurav, I see next 5 to 10 years as a very, very critical phase of real estate. And as you rightly pointed out, we are going to see more and more sustainable homes in the next 5 to 10 years. We are driving towards net zero buildings in terms of carbon emission. Self-sufficient, sustainable townships, which probably have least reliability on external support. We are going towards more and more reliance on solar empowered power. We are bringing smart homes. We are bringing AI technology. We are bringing some kind of innovative products, which can probably help your daily functional living, as well as help the climate change of this world. We are trying to bring hybrid homes where you have a mix of home as well as some kind of a working space or even a study space for your kids, so that life becomes even more, I would say, climate friendly or emission friendly, where you don't have to travel that much. So these are all, I would say, the trends which we are seeing in the next 5 to 10 years. We are seeing trend of 3D printing homes as well, which has been tested in Pune. We are going to see more and more of that in other cities as well. So that also would be an interesting trend. So yeah, we are all geared up for a fascinating next 5 to 10 years, Gaurav.
Absolutely, Ranjit. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you, Gaurav. It was my pleasure.